chapter 19, book of Genesis. We got through verse 9. And maybe you recall the two angels had come into town. Lot talked them into staying at his house. Too dangerous to stay downtown. They're in Sodom. Lot owns his own home, invites them to dinner. After dinner, when it's getting late, about bedtime, the gay community came out in force, marching through the streets from all quarters, from all sections of town. It says all the men, young and old alike, came from all around the city. It's a very large city. And they wanted to rape the two angels. They didn't know they were angels. Lot went out and locked the door behind him and said, "Don't do so wickedly." You remember the whole scenario. You remember everything that went on. But Lot pleaded with him, but his pleas fell on deaf ears. They didn't listen to him. As a matter of fact, they said in verse 9, they said, "Now stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Not only are they going to rape Lot now, but they want to rape the angels inside and whatever else they plan to do. It is a violent lifestyle that they're living. It's very clear that they don't understand what they're doing. Look at verse 10. So we continue on now. "But the men put forth their hand," that'll be the men inside, the angels, "and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door." That means they locked the door. So they pulled Lot inside and locked the door again. "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Now that tells you a whole lot right there. The angels could have done all kinds of things, but their assignment was to destroy Sodom. Well, not just Sodom, the cities of the plains, all of them. So they grab Lot, pull him back inside, lock the door, and they smite all the people that are trying to get him with blindness. As the men of the city are trying to grab Lot, the angels grab him first. The men of Sodom were violent men. Notice in verse 9 how they said, "Oh yeah, who do you think you are? We'll take care of you and those visitors. And we're going to have a mess on our hands here." They wanted their own way. And notice they were determined to get their own way. Even if it means the death of Lot, even if it means the death of those two visitors, and again, they do not realize these are angels. They are just determined to do their own way to get what they want, and they're going to do it now. Now, if you will notice, the homosexual community has not changed, has it? They're determined to get their own way. They're going to get it by hook or by crook. That's an old cliche, but in other words, whatever it takes, if it takes violence, that's what they will do. If it takes murder, that's what they will do. Whatever it takes, I want what I want, and that's the bottom line. That's the mind is so messed up that the minds don't function anymore. Not only were their eyes blinded by these angels, but obviously their minds were blinded well before this. They have no idea. They can't see here in chapter 19. They cannot see that what they are wanting to do and what they are about to do and the violence involved is absolutely bizarre. It makes no logical sense whatsoever. They can't even see it. It doesn't register in their heads. "We're going to get you and we're going to get them. We're mad now." No logic, no sane thinking. Something's going wrong in their heads. Way before they were blinded, something has gone wrong in their heads. They've lost all reason. They've lost an ability to be able to tell right from wrong. to be able to tell what's really good and what is not good. They don't even care. This is what I want. Doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. Doesn't matter what else happens. Doesn't even matter what happens to me after this. This is just what I want. Listen to that logic. Something is wrong with it. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32, because they rejected God and refused to worship the Lord God, we read this in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Vile, bizarre, filthy affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, clearly, it goes against what is natural, what is nature itself. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, in other words, that's how God set it up, they burned in their lust one toward another, men wanting other men, women wanting other women. Men with men, it says, working that which is unseemly. And notice, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat, or which was exactly what was deserved. Notice, they received it in themselves. Something happened to their physical bodies, probably what you and I would call diseases, transmitted sexually. And they don't care. They just don't care. So what? And even, verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their thinking or in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate, not functioning properly. Now go back to the book of Genesis chapter 19 and see that their minds aren't functioning correctly. There's no logic. There is no sense of what is right or wrong. There is no sense of what is evil. There is no sense of what is vile and wicked. There is only a sense of, we're mad at you and we're going to rape those guys, but we're going to do worse to you. Something's gone wrong in their heads. Romans chapter 1 explains what it is. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, not sane, not logical, not natural, not normal. How else can you say it? It couldn't be much more clear than that, I think. But it doesn't stop, verse 29. I'll read verse 8, 28, get a running start. Even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual sin, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Here's an interesting one. Debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, that would be gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and woe, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Something's gone wrong in their brains. Implacable, you can't calm them down, and unmerciful, we'll do worse to you than we do to them. We're going to still do that to them, but we'll do worse to you. Who do you think you are trying to stop us? We have our rights. We're proud, and we're never going to go away. Isn't that what the signs are saying today? Isn't that just what happened up in Canada 2 days ago? That Christian prayer meeting, did you see it in the news? The Christians were in a hotel conference room simply praying. that that law would not pass up in Canada. They were praying, and the homosexual community burst in carrying signs and just interrupted the prayer meeting. They have a right to do that. What gives them the logical right? Easy. We don't want you praying against what we're doing. So we'll stop you. We'll do whatever it takes. See, logic, reprobate mind, it doesn't function. It doesn't work. There are other ways to go about things, but they can't understand it. Here in Genesis 19, there are other ways to go about these issues. They don't understand. Their minds cannot function properly. Who, verse 32 of Romans 1, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, even though they know that, not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, misery loves company. They know the judgment of God's coming. They just choose to say, I don't believe in God. And they take pleasure in it. And they hope others will join in their cause. They are glad when more and more come out of the closet. Say, come on with us. We're going to go rape the angels. That's how ugly it was in Genesis chapter 19. That is our everyday normal world in our lives right now. They are so messed up in their heads that decent, common people are afraid of them in groups. Have you noticed? Afraid to say the wrong thing, you might stir up their anger. They might burn your home down, burn a cross in your yard, shoot you. God only knows what they might do. Why? Because their minds don't function. They've been given over to a reprobate mind to do things that are unnatural. And that's what you're seeing take place in Genesis 19. It's very sad. And the Bible says, verse 11, let me read it again. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. Okay, once you were blinded, guys, girls, once you were blinded, you would think, oh man, I can't see. You would think you would give up the pursuit of going to go rape somebody. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, wouldn't logic cause you to say, well, I can't see. I don't know where I'm going. I might as well call it a day. Notice what the scripture says. They smote the men, verse 11, that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. They didn't quit. Just because I can't see, I still want to rape something. So they weary themselves trying to find the door. Where is that door? Go ahead, just point me at it. I'm mad now. What on the earth is wrong with your heads, man? And they would look right at you and say, nothing's wrong with our heads. You're the weird ones. We just want to rape a couple of people. What's the big deal? We just want to spread disease. We just want to destroy the lives of millions of children. What's your problem? We've got our rights. Leave us alone. Even when they're blinded, they weary themselves still trying to find the door. Something's wrong. Something's seriously wrong. And that Romans chapter 1 explains it to us. Well, the men, those angels inside there, verse 12, they said unto Lot, have you any here besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. You can, anybody else you got part of the family, sons, daughters, sons-in-law, whatever you've got, go get them. You're going to have to get out of here. You're going to have to get out of here. For we will, underline will, verse 13, destroy this place. We will destroy this place. Because the cry of them is grown great. The King James says waxen great. That means it has grown loud. Great, before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. We will destroy this entire valley, all these plains. We will destroy all the cities and everyone that lives in them. We're going to destroy them. If you've got family, If you've got some stuff that you can carry, get it and get out of town. We will destroy this place. I'm telling you, God never changes. And the cry has grown great in heaven of the things that are going on in the United States of America. And God will destroy. He has not changed. It was Billy Graham who said, if God does not destroy the United States of America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't worry, God won't have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He will destroy any country, and the death knoll, if you will, the final bells that ring are when the homosexual community comes out in force and takes to the streets. And Jesus says, like it was in the days of Lot, it will be that way in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is coming back. That's probably much more quickly than you think. Because we all have been saying it for so long. Everybody just says, yeah, he's coming. Yeah, we're going to get raptured. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, but are you ready? The five wise virgins and the five foolish. Go back and read through Matthew. Start in chapter 19, 20. And then read through chapters all the way through 28. And listen to some of those parables. Listen to them closely. Because you need to be ready. I need to be ready. We need to be ready. And there's only one way to get ready. And that's not to clean up your act or to be better than others or to be holier than thou or to give more. No, what's going to have to happen is our hearts are going to have to be turned over to the Lord, to placed in His hand, opening our heart and asking Him to come into our lives and to take over this mess. And if we got minds that don't function, asking Him to bring life back to them and straighten these heads out. He says, have ye any here besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever they have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. We're here to destroy this city. That is what we are going to do. Because the sin is so great and has gotten so gross and so loud before the face of the Lord that he sent us to destroy it. But there is one that is just in the city. We will not destroy the righteous or the just with the wicked or with the unjust. Remember, Abraham said, Lord, you're the judge of the whole earth. You would never do that. That's not like you. You would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. You wouldn't do that. You're too good. You are just. And God said, you're right. I won't do that. If I could find 10, I won't destroy the city. There aren't 10. There's one. One man. And he gets to take his family with him. So the angels go get him. Because you are leaving town. And he went to his sons-in-law. And he told them, we've got to get out of here. We've got to leave the city. You've been given permission to come with me. We're going to just carry a few things. We're going to get out. We're going to get out now. God is going to destroy the city. There is no time. You don't even have time to think about it. Just get moving. Can we wait a week? I'd like to go to the mall and get a backpack. No, you have to go now. We've got to do it now. Just grab what you can carry. Let's go. We've got to go now. They laughed at him. The Bible says they laughed at him as if he were joking himself. Come on, Lot. Man, you really come up with some good ones. Good one, man. God's going to destroy the whole city. It's a huge city. Yeah, he's going to, in one whack, how's he going to do that? They haven't even invented nukes yet. And there they are laughing away. As if he's trying to play a joke on him. They laughed at him as if he were trying to play a joke on them. Yeah, right, we're going to pack up. It's nighttime. I mean, you know, it was getting dark. Remember when the perverts came out to attack? And now the angels took him inside. So you go to your relatives or whatever you got in the city, get them out. So he goes and they said, no, you know, you got a home here in town. All right. We know you do. We know right where you live. You got a home here. You own your own property. You're as much a part of this city as we are. You're nuts. We're not leaving. Did you hear that? It's possible that you and I can become so locked into this world as to give others the impression that we're planning to stay here forever. Did you know that? Because when Lot said, come on, guys, God's going to destroy them. Come on, Lot. If you believed that, you wouldn't have bought your home. You wouldn't have. Now, come on. You know, you're a judge in the city. Come on. I think Lot might be a little bit compromised here. The only reason that I do believe Lot belonged to the Lord is because the New Testament tells us so. That's the only reason I believe it. Because you can't see it. It doesn't show, but the New Testament says so. Peter says, just Lot. Of course, Abraham was praying for just Lot also. But just Lot vexed his soul day by day. That's the only reason, the only way we can tell he really belongs to the Lord is by what Peter told us. If that wasn't written in there, we'd be questioning it even now. How come Lot's getting out of this? Our witness becomes ineffective is what happens. We start to talk about what we think the Lord's going to do, and people look at us and say, come on, you don't live that way. You don't believe that. Not for one moment. You haven't really lived like God's going to do anything like that. According to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Lot never really liked living in Sodom. He never really had a peace about it in his heart. We read in those verses that he vexed his soul daily, day by day. In other words, he lived there. His family grew up there. His wife really liked it there. But there was something in his heart that didn't let him rest in it. It bothered him, the things that people were saying, the things that the community was a part of, the things that were going on in his neighborhood. It really bothered him. The only reason we know that is because Peter tells us. But you're going to notice when it's time to leave, he couldn't get anyone to leave with him. Except his wife, who probably had no choice, and his daughters, the two virgin daughters that he has. In other words, they're part of the family. He looked at them and didn't give them an option. You're going. The wife said, you know, we can't. Oh, no, we're clearing out of here. So, you know, I think, according to what we see coming up, I don't think his wife would have left with him had she had a choice. I think she would have stayed. That's where her home is. That's where her family is. It's where all things that are important to her, that's where they are. Then when the morning arose, verse 14, then the angels hastened Lot. In our language, the angels tried to push him, hurry him up, saying, arise, take your wife, your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. When it happens, the entire city will be gone, everyone in it. You better get out of the town or you will be consumed with it. And while he lingered, okay, there it is, not Lot's wife, not Lot's oldest daughter, not Lot's youngest daughter, but who is lingering? Lot. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his arm. That literally means they grabbed him by the arm And upon the hand of his wife, they grabbed her hand. These are two angels here. And upon the hand of the two daughters, grabbed the two daughters. So each angel has two humans in each hand. So they got four humans. They're dragging, literally pulling out of town. Why? Verse 16 says, the Lord being merciful unto them. They brought him forth and set him outside or without the city. When the sun started to rise, just at daybreak, the angels said, Lot, hurry up. We've wasted too much time. Your sons aren't going. It's just going to be your daughters and your wife. Grab them. Get out of here. Take your wife, take your daughters, get out of here now, or you will be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Punishment, wrath of God is coming down on this city. You got to get out of this city, or you will be consumed inside this city. But Lot hesitated. Literally, he lingered. He didn't want to leave his home. He's been here years. I mean, they've got a pretty nice place, it sounds like. Strong enough to keep people from breaking the door in. Got a lock on the door. Pretty nice place going. Downtown. He's a judge there. People finally showing him a little bit of respect. Probably calling sir, except for the angry people at the front door right now. He's got a reputation here. He's got a position here. He's got a home here. I don't know, the garden in the back maybe, or in the front. Well, on the roof is where they would do a lot of their gardening. And he doesn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave his house. His family didn't want to leave. Just didn't want to leave the house. They're nice things. And oh, they're not much, but they're ours, and we've collected them over the years, and you just hate to lose them. So the angels had to grab them and force them to go. Did you hear that? The angels, in mercy, in God's mercy, grabbed them and forced them out of town. Do you hear that? They forced them to go. If the angels wouldn't have forced them, Lot would have been destroyed. Lot's wife, Lot's daughters, and you're going to see maybe they'd have been better off in the long run. But anyway, they had to be forced out of town. Now you go and look at the language when you get some time in 1 Corinthians 15, or you look at the language in 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, literally, Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be violently seized. The word is rapturus. We'll get our word rapture. To be snatched away violently. To be violently grabbed and seized off the earth. You know why, don't you? Because some of us really like it here. Oh, it's not much, but, you know, we got a place we call home, a place to park your tennies. Of course, I wear 11s. Tennies are too small. I mean, we all know we're going to go to heaven. We all know we're going to be raptured. Well, that's not all of us do. Someone was in this week to see me and to explain to me that there's no such thing. There is no such thing. To be violently seized off the face of the earth. And I said, well, if there's no such thing, then what about 1 Thessalonians 4? What about 1 Corinthians and 2? Answer is simple. God contradicted himself. That was the answer I got. God never contradicts himself. He's smarter than me, smarter than you, smarter than us. He just doesn't do it. They forced Lot and his wife and kids out of town. And the Bible specifically says that was the mercy of the Lord. And there is coming a time, I believe, that you'll see the same thing take place, although it won't be the angels. We will be violently seized, snatched away, caught up, harpazo in the Greek, rapturus in the Latin, caught up in the King James, snatched away in American. I don't know, if you need another language, we'll get with you. Violently seized off this planet. Because when God pours out His wrath on this Christ-rejecting world, it will be the wrath of God poured out until the bowls of wrath are completely empty. That cup to the dregs will be drunk of the wrath of the living God. And some of us are going to want to be kind of hanging out because it's nice down here, especially when there's no snow. Sun comes out, it's really nice. I'm telling you right now, we are no different than Mr. Lot. We get comfortable with this down here. We get settled in and we just don't want to be bothered. But in God's mercy, He will violently seize us and we will meet with the Lord in the air to be ever with the Lord. Well, Lot's headed out of town. They dragged him out of the city. Lot's been kicked out of a nice place. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that means outside, that he said, the angel says, escape for thy life. Or in other words, in our language, run for your life. Do not look behind thee. King James says, look not behind thee. Don't turn around for any reason. Don't look back. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Get to the mountain. Don't look back for any reason. Run for your life. And Lot said, oh, not so, my Lord. Wouldn't you just love to slap him? When are you going to get it? You've been in Sodom too long, man. Something's wrong with your head. When are you going to get it? This is good for you. This is mercy. God has saved you. Get out of here. Run away. Just get as far from this place as you can get, as fast as you can get there. Get to the mountains. Once you do, it's coming down. Just get to the mountains. Oh, no, that's too far. Mountains. You know, there are gangs that run up in the mountains. It's dangerous there. Dude, it is dangerous here. God got you this far. Trust Him. Behold now, He says, no, you know, not so, Lord. Behold, verse 19, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. I mean, you've been really kind. Thanks, guys. Which you have showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, the city is near to flee to. It's just a little one. Let me escape there. Isn't it just a little one? And my soul shall live. Man, you're not getting it, Lot. Just outside the city, the angel says this. Okay, guys, they let go of the arms of the daughters, let go of the arms of Lot and his wife and say, run, get out of here, run as fast as you can, get to the mountains, and you got to do it fast because destruction's coming. And don't look back, whatever you do. You just run for your life. Your life depends on it. You don't stop to see if it's pretty. You got to run. You've got to make it to the mountains or you're going to die. Don't turn around. Don't look behind you. There's nothing here for you. You are leaving nothing behind you. Listen, but wickedness and evil and ugliness. You are leaving nothing back here. Yeah, but I got my carpeting. It's pretty new. You know what? Leave it. You are leaving nothing but trouble. Run. Don't turn back. Aren't we told, guys and girls, aren't we told to flee youthful lusts? Run as fast as you can. Get as far away from it as you can. Don't look back. Don't check to see if it's coming after you. Just get out of here. Run for your life. Or you will be consumed with all the others. Escape to the mountain. Lot said, no, give me a break. I mean, you've been pretty merciful already, but notice Lot still doesn't want to leave home. Mountains, that's far. That's dangerous. Come on, let me stay here in the plains. He doesn't want to leave that beautiful valley, those fertile plains. He just doesn't want to leave them. It's dangerous up in the mountains. Since you're so merciful, don't ask us to go all the way to the mountains. We might die there. You know, that is funny. Mountains? We could die there. And the angels, they got to be looking at each other going, this guy's a clown. You stay here, man. You are toast. Salty toast. Die. No, you're not on the menu. Get to the mountain. You come on. Look, God has brought you this far. He saved you. He's been merciful. Go to the mountains. That's what God said to do. How many times has God told you, get out of here. Go do this. Make sure, go right now and take care of this. And you say, oh, no, they'll get mad. They'll hurt me. They won't understand. And God is going, what a clown. I just brought you to here. I brought you here safely. I'm telling you, go there. Go there. Oh, man, that's too far. And I just picture these angels because, you know, they're not hyper. These are angels. But I can see what I'm saying. The other one, when his wife turns around, knock him out. Just knock him out. Then we'll just carry him over. No, they don't do that. They're very kind. Here's what they do. He asked to be allowed to stay in the plains. In a little city called Zoar. The word Zoar means little. He says, it's just a little city. It's not bad and gross like Sodom. Of course not. No, they're nice over there. How do you know? I've never been there. But I'm sure they're nice. It's a little city. I mean, you're not going to have as big troubles because it's a little city. Not a lot of gang activity there. See, it's a smaller city. You know, the prices are lower. The rentals are nice. It's a little city. We can't get much. Me and the wife and the two girls. What kind of trouble? It's a little city. Let's go there instead. Dangerous in the mountains. Verse 21. They said to him, see, or that he said to him, see, the angel says, I have accepted you concerning this thing also. That I will not overthrow that little city of Zoar, this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, or hurry, escape there, for I cannot, underline, I cannot do anything till you have gotten there. Do you hear that? The righteous that God wouldn't destroy, the angel says, we can't even start the destruction till you are out of and away from the scene of all the trouble. Rapture. For those of you who still believe in that, I still do. I believe that God will take his church out of and away from, completely out of and away from the scene before he begins to pour out his wrath. That's why I believe it will happen quickly. It will happen soon, I believe, and it will happen quickly. And once the church is gone, it'll get ugly. If you think it's ugly now, oh my goodness. Hurry thee. Hither, verse 24, for I cannot do, or 22, I cannot do anything till thou be come there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, meaning little. Lot did leave Sodom. Not by choice, he was forced. But he didn't leave the plains. He stopped in a little city called Little. When you and I are taken by God's grace out of this old life that we live right now. We need to get all the way out. By his grace, we need to get all the way out. Just get out of it. Don't stay in a little city out there in the plains close to where you used to hang out, to the bar rooms where you used to hang out. Some of the friends you used to have, they were nice. Get all the way out. Get all the way into Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, you can see your friends because you want to share Jesus with them. But you want to make brand, you want a whole new life. You see, behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You want to get out of there, get out of the plains, get out. Oh, it might be beautiful where you think you are. Nice neighborhood, but you want to get away from the old lifestyle, away from the things that you used to do, away from the things that you hang out. How many people do we deal with almost weekly now who say, my main struggle is that I'm doing good walking with the Lord, but then I run into old friends and I'll run with them for a couple of days and I'm in trouble again. Because I go back to the same places. We begin to do the same things. We go to their house and they're doing drugs and I'm not doing them, but they're doing them. And you look at them and say, get away from them. Well, brother, we're supposed to love them. Love them from over here. Call them once a week. Stay away from them. Get away from them. Share Jesus Christ with them, but don't spend your life with them. Get out of that. But he stays in the city. The angel agrees, fine. We're going to leave that city alone. We'll let that city stand. All the rest will destroy. But we can't do it till you're out of here safely. Once again, notice, we can't destroy until the righteous are in a place of safety. And the righteous sure are making it hard, aren't they? I don't want to go. And the sun was up in the sky, and Lot and his wife and his daughters made it to town. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Meaning, it was later in the morning. So they scrambled. They traveled pretty quickly. Verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. From the Lord. This destruction, this wrath, this judgment doesn't come from nature. Doesn't come from what you would call natural anything. This is directly from the Lord. What equipment he used, that's his business. Because he can certainly do anything. But he's going to destroy every city there, except for Zoar, and everybody in every city. And he overthrew, verse 25, those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and they which grew upon, or that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, that would be Lot's wife, looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. The Lord himself, the Bible says, rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. The word in our language, brimstone, sulfur. Highly flammable. Today used to make matches, gunpowder, explosives and things. Sulfur. Smells bad too. Fire and brimstone. Nothing was left. And archaeologists are over there to this day, still digging. And they think, well, it might be just at the southern end of the Dead Sea. That looks like there could have been something. And some say, no, it's just a few miles just on this side. They're finding things, but you see, it got wasted. Those were large civilizations, large cities. They weren't just little things like Post Falls. These were huge, crowded, perverted places. And then they were gone. Lot's wife looked back. You know, the temptation as soon as God says, all right, walk with me, but don't raise your right arm. What's the temptation? Why? Trust me. Run for your life and don't look back. She looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. She turned back for a couple reasons, I think, as we watch her. One is the most obvious. She turned and she stared back at the city. That was the city that was her home, and it's been her home for years. And she left a lot of friends there. She probably had sewing circles going on. She was, you know, she was someone in the community, one of the leader's wives. And so I'm sure she probably had say. I can't imagine a leader's wife being quiet. So I'm sure she probably put her opinion out there in, you know, in the papers and for inquiring minds like ours to read. And probably refused to show her income tax returns as well. And all that stuff, you know, important things. See, her home was there. All her personal belongings, her friends, her life, it was all back in Sodom. And she turned around and she gazed back at the city. Just want to get one more. I'm going to miss it. You know? I mean, you could say it's bad, but those are my friends. They were going to kill your, they were going to kill your husband. They were going to rape two men. I know, but they're just so nice. It's funny to me when I hear people say, well, yeah, she just murdered her husband, but she loves the Lord. Yeah, he's been stealing money for the last 20 years, but oh man, he really loves the Word of God. And she goes, come here. Can you hear what you're saying? If you love the Lord, you don't murder. If you love the Lord, you don't want to steal. If you're stealing, you want to cry out and ask for any kind of help because, Lord, change my life. If you love the Lord, you will do what He asks. If you love the Lord, you'll do what He wants by His strength. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. She really is going to miss home, that's all. Don't you feel sorry for Lot's wife? Poor thing, now she's solid. She didn't want to leave. It was Lot who said, we're leaving. It wasn't Lot's wife. She didn't say, these angels, man, I believe them. We're out of here. I don't care if you're going, Lot. I'm getting out of here. I'm taking my kids. And we're getting, that wasn't what happened. Lot said, this is what we're going to do. We're leaving. She didn't want to go. Mrs. Lot didn't want to go. The Lord's going to nuke this place. I don't care. It's my home. I'm staying. She doesn't want to go. I think many Christians today feel the same way as Mrs. Lot. They want the Lord to return, but not just yet. You know, there are few things I want to accomplish. I love the Lord. No, but I had someone tell me, young guy, I mean, I love the Lord. I want Him to come back soon. But you know, I want to get married first. You know, nothing wrong. That's not a sin. Being married, that's a good thing. It was God's idea. You know, I don't want to do that. And then, of course, and I said, well, then, of course, we're going to get married. You guys want to have kids? Yeah. So you want to wait for Him to have the kids? Or do you want to wait for Him to, like, when the kids are teens? Or do you want to see them married and would you like to see your grandkids? In other words, you're slowing us up. You just want to stay and you just want to stay and you just want to stay. When some of us just want to get out of here. Don't want to leave their homes. Some don't even want to leave their homes for a short trip to church. I've noticed. They don't want to leave their women's clubs, their men's clubs, their groups of friends at the pub where everybody knows your name. I know, it's true. We have to be careful of this. Some of us live like we don't ever want to leave here. So even though people say they're Christians, they don't really love the Lord's returning. They don't really long for the Lord's returning. Because they've got things they'd like to accomplish, things they'd like to do. They're looking back. They turn to stone. They turn to salt. I notice some are not looking for the Lord's soon return. They want to stay as long as they can, be a part as much as they can. That's what Mrs. Lot wanted to do. Will it break your heart? Does it break your heart now when you think about leaving your friends, leaving your home down here? If the Lord would return at midnight tonight, would that bum you out? I know people who are saying, well, I'm kind of hoping He comes back. And I kind of figure that when he shows back up, He'll straighten out my attitude. You know, He's only going to take those that belong to Him. And the ones that truly belong to Him long for His coming. They love the appearing of the Lord. Those are the ones that He'll take. I think another reason Mrs. Lot turned back, besides really longing for home, I think Mrs. Lot didn't believe it was going to happen. When the sparks, when as you're running and you could hear sounds and maybe some flashes, I think she thought, I just can't believe it. She turned because I cannot believe that God's really going to do this. I think that people are going to be shocked to death, literally, when the Lord begins to move. How can you destroy these huge cities? They've been around forever. If God is so loving, how could he possibly kill that many people? Hey, listen. If that kind of homosexual behavior is going on in chapter 19 that we see going on, do you believe that there are diseases also going on in that city? I mean, that is just a slow, ugly, painful death, isn't it? I think God, in his mercy, whacked them. Because they're all going to die of something bizarre. Because you notice all the men were involved. So it's merciful. She turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, he's talking to Christians, talking to us, those that are his. Starting in verse 28, I'll read through verse 33. Talking about the end times, Jesus says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. When it's time to go, get out, he says. And then in verse 32, it's an easy verse to memorize. Remember Lot's wife. Three words. Jesus just said, this really happened to Lot. This really happened to Lot's wife. He just confirmed it here. Some people say, she turned into a pillar of salt. You got to be. Nobody believes that. Jesus believed it. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. He says it another way at the beginning of the Gospels when he says, no man or woman or person that puts their hands to the plow and then turns back, that person is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, once you grab on, we go. You say, I'm a Christian. I say, I'm a Christian. We say, I'm a Christian. Okay. If we truly are Christians and we belong to the Lord, we grab on and we don't let go and we don't look back. We're going to go on now with the Lord. Whatever he says, whatever he thinks, wherever he chooses to take us, however it's going to work in our lives, we don't look back. We plow. Well, after he says, remember Lot's wife, verse 33 says in Luke 17, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 27 says this. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Remember when he had walked with the Lord and prayed to him? And he looked toward the Sodom and Gomorrah, toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plains, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. I mean, it got blasted. And from where Abraham was, what you could see now was just smoke rising like the smoke out of a furnace. The cities were destroyed. Well, it came to pass, verse 29. When God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God remembered. Remember Abraham praying, Lord, you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. God said, no, I won't. And God remembered Abraham's prayer, the righteous praying for the others. Well, look at verse 30. We've got to hurry. Lot went up out of Zoar. Now, Didn't expect that one, did you? Sounds like it wasn't going that well in that little town. Didn't stay there very long. Maybe word got out that he's the only one that lived from Sodom. And maybe they were, I don't know, maybe somebody was after him. But anyway, something happened. He didn't stay. Lot, when I was Zoar, dwelt in the mountain, that dangerous place where he didn't want to go, remember? And he and his two daughters, because his wife was still petrified. You know, she was still salt. For he feared to dwell in the city, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let's make our father drink wine. Let's get him drunk. And we will lie with him, sexually speaking, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not perceive when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the next day, the morrow, that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and go thou in, lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot pregnant. They were with child by their own father. So what you're seeing here, everyone, is although Sodom was destroyed, it was reborn in a cave right outside of Zoar up in the mountains. That kind of thinking, that kind of logic, where did those girls learn that? From their dad? From the Bible? No, you see, that makes perfect sense to them because their minds don't work very well either. Hey, we'll never get married now. I mean, we had to get out of town. We were scared to live there. So let's get pregnant by our dad. Then we'll have kids. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. Oh man, aren't you glad your name is not Moab? The same as the father of the Moabites. And the younger, she also bare a son, called his name Ben-Ammi. The same as the father of the children of the Ammon, or of Ammon, unto this day. Each girl gets pregnant by their own father. What logic these girls are using. Sodom wasn't destroyed completely. The sin of Sodom comes on over and still part of Lot's family. That's what they grew up in. It's all they knew. There was no real change of heart. So the girls are both pregnant. They each have a son. Moab. That means, hey, how would you like to grow up with this name? Because, of course, people will figure it out eventually. Moab means of his father. And the little one, the younger daughter, has a son, names him Ben-Ammi, son of my people. We're seeing the rebirth, basically, of Sodom, the sin of Sodom, right there in the cave. And so from Moab come the Moabites, and from Ben-Ammi come the Ammonites. And you will watch, as we go through the rest of the books of the Bible, that the Moabites are enemies, and it's a complete mess of all the children of Israel, and the Ammonites become enemies and are making a complete mess, making the lives of the Israeli children miserable. And each time we in the flesh do something, did you see what happened to Abraham and Sarah? You haven't finished with them yet. You're going to see that flesh that they did is going to, it's going to ruin their lives. It's going to make a mess of everything, and it's still a problem to this very day. This flesh that these girls came up with, this idea of getting pregnant from their own father, will ruin the families, will destroy. God will eventually call Moab his washpot, which in our language literally means his restroom. That's what he will think of the Moabite clan and all the troubles that they're causing. And the Ammonites are such a problem that Saul needs to destroy them, King Saul, and doesn't, and it eventually destroys him. Everything that you and I try to do in the flesh, thinking that we're getting away with it, is going to come back and haunt us. But the trouble is, it could haunt others on and on besides us. The lesson is clear. You can't enter into Jesus Christ and then continue on with the ideas you had while you were in the world. and continue on with the attitudes you had while you were back there in Sodom. And continue on with the same clever little business schemes and ideas. No, now we belong to the Lord. We are different. Our lives must change by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it takes God's Holy Spirit, because I cannot change myself. You cannot change yourself. You'll say, I'll be good. No, you won't. Only in Jesus Christ do we have strength to do anything. Don't borrow the logic and the ideas from Sodom. Leave them alone. Pray. Seek the Lord. Lord, show me what to do now. Show me how to handle this. Show us which direction to go. How do you want this done? Lord, where do we go from here? What do we do about the situation now? We've made the situation bad, but Lord, we're looking to you. Show us where to go from here. And God will, because He is merciful. He is kind. He loves you. As you see the mercy upon Lot and his wife and his girls, God could have said, I know what they're going to do next week. Let's just knock them off now. But mercifully, He took them out and protected them. And again, their own choices destroyed them. Let's bow our heads together. Again, Lord, we thank you. And we're excited. Because Jesus said so. He said, just like it was in the days of Lot, it would be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He said to the Jewish believers, He said to all of us, remember Lot's wife. What an amazing thing, Lord. What an amazing reminder to all of us. Work in our hearts. Because we do need a change of heart. We need a change of attitude. We need a change of mind. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to do that. Work in us, we pray.